It's Tuesday morning. It's 10 o'clock Mountain Time. That means it's time for another Tom and Shane podcast. And we're happy to have you with us today. And don't forget, subscribe. Smash that notification bell. Ring it, man. Ring it. So you'll always be notified whenever we have another podcast. And like us. Leave a comment. YouTube really likes that. It helps move us up in the search engine stuff. So we appreciate it if you would do that. If you like to support the show monetarily, it's $3 a month. $3 a month. I mean, come on. $3. What's the problem?
Yeah.
Jeez. And, of course, we present these with StreamYard. Very easy to use. Very simple. There's a free description in the links below. So on YouTube. So we hope you'll take advantage of that. And our topic today, we want to talk about allergies. 50 million allergy sufferers in the United States, and Shane is one of them.
I am, and it's an amazing topic in the context of how many people it affects. We want to start out by explaining, of course, what we're looking at. Allergies are a number of conditions caused by hypersensitivity of the immune system to typically harmless substances in the environment. Like normally what you're dealing with doesn't affect everyone, obviously we'll find that out today. But these diseases include hay fever, I'm terrible, food allergies, yep, coconut, atopic dermatitis, we know that, dry skin on your elbows or somewhere on your body, atopic dermatitis, allergic asthma, and anaphylaxis. And these symptoms may include red eyes, itchy, rash, sneezing, a runny nose, shortness of breath, and of course, food intolerances and food poisonings like we went through, 15, 20 years ago with peanuts. It's remarkable because of the number, not only the number of people, but the cost involved, uh-huh. Which, we'll get involved with quite quickly. So there you go. Let's go now. Let's do it, baby.
All right. Hi, guys. Bruce is with us. Thanks, Bruce, for being here. We appreciate that very much. Always a pleasure. And, some of the things that we mentioned earlier, Shane, there's 50 million Americans have experienced various types of allergies. By advanced calculus, that's one-sixth of the nation.
That's right.
And so it's a lot of folks. It's the sixth leading cause of chronic illness in the United States. And with COVID, this is something that aggravates these chronic illnesses. Mm-hmm. So a lot of people had that issue during the COVID, of course. And the hay fever, which is most common, I guess, that people have, 10 to 30% of all adults have that. Again, a third of the population and 40% of children also have it. And there are estimates that over 60 million people in the U.S. that have symptoms of allergic retinitis, and this number is increasing all the time. So allergies span a large segment of society, Shane.
That's right. Doctors in the last 20 years, of course, have been having to analyze processed foods. When the big peanut butter scandal came up of young children being, allergic to it, after a three-year study done in Canada, what they found is small amounts introduced into the diet of children end up allowing their body to adapt it. And that's one of the issues with food allergies. Now, in the case of coconut, for me, it causes a horrific, response. And, it's swelling in my throat and inability to breathe. So there's one extreme to the other with the allergic situation, like people being allergic to bread or mm-hmm. wheat products, right?
Or eggs, or
dairy products, yeah. Mm-hmm. The remarkable thing about it is, while the world is affected by it as well, the Americans, do we consumer one? 1.3 billion spent to see doctors in an annual year, and 11 billion for medications, and that's just incredible, because it's not just seasonal allergies that we're talking about, but as you've mentioned, rhinitis, and the common cold is considered an allergy. Of course, influenza is also. So, you know, these go in the category, as Tom mentioned, of COVID. So, you know, a lot of people, you know, I have a product that I've used for years that would take an antihistamine, and it's a big market. And nose sprays, but I use it too to prevent colds. If I get that feeling of cold, I'll take the antihistamine. I'll, you know, take some nose spray a couple of days, you know, to drought my nasals so I can get breathing and not allow the cold to get in my lungs. And so I haven't had a cold in like 10 years. So I'm happy about it. Yeah. Antihistamines are a real miracle drug of the 20th century. No question.
Yeah, they are. Bruce, since I've been to an allergist, gotten tested, gotten shots, built my immune system up to these allergies, it really helps. The only thing I can that I can't do is mice and mold. And well, as we said recently, Shane, I think this morning or the day yesterday, they got rid of the mandates on airplanes. And the reason I bring that up is that airplanes stopped serving peanuts long ago.
That's right.
You know, and even if you were allergic to peanuts, the peanuts in the air, the aroma of the peanuts could cause a problem. So I guess people were safer wearing masks if they had peanut allergies on airplanes than if not. But
yeah, anyway. But you know, this is sort of one of those situations that you look at the science and everything. I mean, mm-hmm. In the cabin of an airplane, the air is completely circulated every 2 minutes.
Yeah.
And clean.
Mm-hmm. And safest place probably you're at.
Safest place on the planet. Masks, not really an issue. The people that are, you're sitting by, the air is being sucked up above them, beside you. And, you know, you're not going to find yourself, you know, in any serious danger. Yeah, if you're concerned about flying a plane, get an aisle seat because all the air is sucked in from the sides of the plane. So there you go. That's the safest place to sit is an aisle.
All the air will be going away from you.
Yeah, that's right. But you know, everybody hates the aisle seat, right?
Oh, I like the aisle seat. I like the aisle seat. I can get out of the damn plane.
In and out of the seat, or you can stick your leg out, you know.
Yeah, that's the other thing about me, because planes aren't made to fit me, as you know, Shane.
No one of any size, you know.
Well, I guess that's probably true, but I don't know. Anyway, we're digressing here a little bit going to the airlines.
Not really. So antihistamines have an interesting history because it goes back a long way, over 100 years, 1930s. The H1 receptor was discovered, which was, of course, part of the common cold. And then piperoxin was discovered in 1933, and it sort of expanded from there. It really came into great use in 1993-95 when they introduced these antihistamines, you know, and nasal sprays that had huge effect because the H2 receptor antagonist was, they found to be a major cause of it, and the H3 receptor and the H4 receptor. So I'm only detailing this because this is all around H1N1, right? Mm-hmm. So, you know, these medications for me is during COVID, I've definitely used, as I said before, because like hydroxine, guess what? 1951, you know, that was one of the first things I took as a child. That and natural honey, not processed honey. My grandmother took me to a farm and we would get some fresh farm honey and I'd have it on toast, in my tea, on my cereal, you know, even on food at night, you know, to develop a natural immunity to allergies from bees, right? Because the honey would be the pollen would be gathered within, you know, 20 miles of the beehive. So, you know, that was like a magic circle, right? It was a, you know, one of those therapeutic things that a naturopath came up with that worked. Well, it worked because the pharaohs of Egypt and their doctors learned about that, you know, 2,000 years ago. scary.
Well, in some cases, the grocery stores and Walmart and the drug places, CVS and some of those, they've had to move the coal products behind the counter because they're also used to make methamphetamine. So you got to sign out for some of this stuff.
Well, yeah, and that's why that decision in 2011 was sad. It was a bit late for my niece. She ended up taking one of these cold drugs. Won't mention the company's name. It's gone, but it, she ended up with a stroke at 12, we lost her at 21, and it was because of a drug that the FDA had allowed over the counter, folks, you think that the FDA and people have failed us in the last 3 years? No, it's been an issue for a long time.
I was going to say, if you think, I was thinking the other day, I can't think of a single government program that has raised the bar on Americans anywhere other than maybe the SBA that gives business loans to start businesses. Other than that, they're pretty well, everything they touch turns to crap,
Yeah, well, and you are looking at a million people having been lost now from this terrible virus, mostly old people, vast majority. And, this is part of our survival. It is. Uh-huh. Yeah. If we don't adapt as a species to what attacks us, then we're in trouble. So again, they may not want to talk about what we call herd immunity, but even with the example of peanut butter, small doses for the body to adapt to it allows the allergy to be rendered useless and the immune system strong enough to deal with it. So it's always going to be that's the goal. All right. Mm-hmm. At the end of the day, we got to reach herd immunity on any of these types of things. Or we're in serious trouble. So we'll see where unless you find a cure, right? Like for polio and a couple of other diseases.
Smallpox and can name all the various ones there that have worked. As we reported earlier, number six in chronic illness. And of course, COVID, if you have these allergy symptoms or allergy, sensitivity, that I think took a lot of people off the planet.
That's right. And like when you mentioned polio and smallpox, they weren't cured because they're viruses, but they were eradicated, meaning they hunted down every single one of the people that had these diseases and immunized them with a real vaccine, a vaccine made from the virus.
Yeah.
So all man can do is eradicate them. I mean, prevent them. But, they're out in these labs, frozen. They could come back, but for now they have a way to eradicate them, not cure them, but that's a good thing. Get rid of them.
Well, man's been around 100,000 years or 6,000, depending on your religious belief.
That's right.
Whatever. So, but we've gone through the plagues in Europe. We went through the Spanish flu in 28, I guess, here in America, and COVID, and we've gone through smallpox, measles, you name it, and we've come out on the other side, and that's why this COVID vaccine. Not just one vaccine, but what, three or four?
That's right.
I guess by the time you get everybody involved, shows what American ingenuity can do when they're faced with an issue like this. And as Bruce pointed out, there's allergists that you go to, and they give you a test and create a program to. I'm starting to sound like Biden.
No, you're not. But look, the protocol, the protocol for 500 years since the 15th century by doctors was to bleed you. They thought if they cut you open and bled you, that somehow would help you. So, you know, it's a matter of process and, like, you know, ingenuity and following a theory and, you know, in the 20th century, you know, 100 years ago, 120 years ago, medicine didn't really make a turn until major discoveries were made. You know, man didn't know for thousands of years that water carried diseases. You know, some did. The Romans figured it out, and you know, Europeans knew to boil water, you know, by the end of the first century. But we've lived in a tolerant world that's actually been kind enough to allow us to survive. That's what's amazing, really. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Well, that's where we find ourselves today. But you know, these things are always being worked on. But as you so rightly mentioned, the pharmaceutical cost to the person is quite high with these things. You know, I don't know I don't know what you pay in Canada with that socialist medicine crap.
Well, it's not, you know, it's not really that bad because, you know, our socialized medicine does cover all basic medications. So, you know, I have doctors, you know, I have a new cardiologist up here where I moved to, which is great. But, you know, I've only talked to him on the phone once. And then I have all these people calling from his clinic or the hospital clinic, you know, recommending I replace my medication I've taken for 20 years. You know? I just say, no, I'm not, you know, you're asking me to take a drug on television or advertising pregnant women can't take it because it might kill their baby, you know, and you could suffer a stroke and die. I'm pretty good. I mean, you know, Synthroid for my thyroid's good. Ramipril's been around for like 80 years for, you know, high blood pressure. I'll stick to what I've got. Thanks, guys. I'm just this side of 70. I've been having a good time with what I got. So
okay. There you go. Well, we should also point out if you're taking prescription drugs, you can't call in a refill. You got to go see the doctor in person in Canada. So
used to be, but the age of COVID, they changed the College of Doctors in all provinces. Wow. Have eased that restriction, so you know, because they can't see you, so they talk to you, then they issue you a prescription. But they do have to talk to you before they do it.
I was gonna say, you gotta get an appointment to at least have some kind of a chat.
Well, they gotta get paid. The only way they get paid.
That's what I'm saying. Whether it's a phone call or it's in the office, they're getting.
Yeah, they get paid $75. If they talk to you, it's $75. That's what they get. Yeah.
Oh man.
Well, you know, 10 an hour, only 10 an hour, that's $750. How would you like to make $1,000 an hour? That's like $8,000 a day. No, you take a lunch break, $7,000 a day. $35,000 a week at least. At least.
Yeah, you got to get that lunch break.
Yeah, it's only $140,000 a month. That's just like 10 people a day. No, they're gonna take a lot more phone calls than 10 a day.
I was going to say, Well, we've gone here in America, we've gone to the the iPad visit with the doctor.
Yeah, the iPad variant. Let's talk about this.
Yeah, you go get a you know, your blood test somewhere, and then the doc says you suck or you're okay.
Yeah, maybe if they have time, they're so busy taking phone calls.
Well, that's true. Yeah, so it's all got to be. Well, I don't know if we've solved anything today, Shane, but maybe we've enlightened some people as to what allergies are and how much they affect us and how many people are affected by them and how many, you know, I mean, I guess there are people that are allergic to just about every substance on the planet. Some people are.
Yeah, my eldest daughter didn't know until 5 years ago she was allergic to wheat. And, you know, this is a long time issue with a lot of people, and the minute you stop taking or eating wheat products, and you know, obviously it rendered itself. But yeah, it's important for people to know these things, because if you're sluggish and you can't sleep and you have no energy, and you know, it might be something as simple as having an allergy to with wheat, right?
Mm-hmm. So yeah, So there you are. Yeah. All right, a tease for Thursday. We're going to talk about student loans, Shane. They're talking we're talking about forgiving them or keeping them at bay for a while for these people. And I don't know, man. It's I don't know. My student loan for Peruvian pottery is in jeopardy. So
maybe not. When people find out, when they watch our show on Thursday, they'll find out who the students, 39 million of them, owe the money to. You will be shocked.
There you are. So that's a big tease coming up for you.
That's
so
right.
Let's be sure and do that. Well, thanks for listening to us, everyone. We appreciate it. Don't forget to subscribe. Ring that notification bell. You'll always be notified whenever we have another podcast. And, of course, leave a like on YouTube and let us know what you think of the show and what you'd like to see. And that's going to wrap it up for us. So we will see everybody on Thursday, 10 a.m. Mountain Time, same time, same place. So bye for now.